This is Do By Friday, a weekly challenge podcast with Merlin Mann, Alex Cox, and Max Temkin. This week's challenge, start your texts in drafts.
Good morning!
Good morning, Merlin!
Good morning!
Hello.
Hello.
Wow, lots of energy.
Oh!
It's gonna be one of those weeks.
I don't have anything to talk about.
Oh, come on, Max. Did you even look at the doc?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
I have so much to talk about on
your check-ins.
The Twitter. Your Twitter
check-in.
Check-in?
Twitter check-in.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Oh, okay. Here's something I could talk about. So I went. So I have not been using Twitter.
Now, you're pretty much off it at this point.
As an interesting benchmark, I haven't really been thinking about this, but I did talk about last week on the show that I deleted all my tweets and I wasn't on Twitter, and I really haven't been on there since. I've probably been on.
It's so obvious that you're really not.
I'm not posting, and I said this last week, but if you don't post, there's no activity. I go on and, you know, my the little alarm bell icon, it always used to be like 99 plus, and that's how I knew people were real mad at me.
Notifications on?
No. The tab in Twitter. You know,
that's
Twitter.
That's still. I see. Like the little.
It's not.
Bell.
I don't have iOS notifications on. What I'm saying is the tab in Twitter. Mm-hmm. There's no way to turn it off. It shows you like how many replies you have.
Oof.
And whenever I'd open the app, it would go 99 plus, and then I would know. Oh boy, people are good.
I want to reiterate that you said something last week that at first seemed like a kind of obvious thing, but I've been thinking about what you said. What you said is basically, if you don't post stuff on Twitter, people don't have anything to respond to. But, you know, further to that, if you deleted all your old tweets, they don't have old tweets to respond to. They can't do a you forgot about or a this is problematic or like have you considered the children, because there's no tweets to respond to. What are they going to say?
When I would go on, I would have this feeling of, oh, man, everyone needs to talk to me. Like, I have to get in here and, like, deal with these people because they'd be asking me questions.
I have to collect my morning admonitions.
Yeah, like, they're mad at me about something I said on the podcast, and they're sending me, like, some Survivor meme. It's just like, and I'd be like, I got to get in the mix. Like, these people need me. And I'll say, like, it was a feedback. Like, I was creating.
They sent up the Max signal.
I was making the Iron Man suits that went rogue. And then I had to fight them. Was I saving Earth? Yes. But what was I saving them from? It was my own.
At what cost?
It was my own Iron Man suits that were then turning around and fighting me.
Ain't that ironical?
And now that I just don't post, I go on there and I have like one reply. On the one hand, I feel like it's a little embarrassing. I'm like, boy, I really didn't need to be here.
Max, when I used to follow statistics about things, I'm going to tell you, I have two very embarrassing things to tell you today. My first embarrassing thing is that when I would track those things, sometimes I would do this. I'd go, meh, I'm done with Twitter for a while. You guys are all bleh. And I would go away. And my follower count would disproportionately go up when I didn't post.
I have gained many new followers since I stopped posting.
Oh, gosh.
You've unlocked the secret. Oh, my God.
Now I'll say, like, the thing that stings a little is, like, I guess I had this, I don't know what, I don't know what the fantasy was, really, but I had this thought that maybe if when I stopped using it, people would be like, where's Max? I want to know what Max thinks about this.
He's got to have a hot take on this.
Nobody thinks that. Matt Howey stopped using Twitter a while. Here's part of the problem. A lot of the people that I really liked on Twitter and I was sort of there to interact with don't use it anymore. And Matt Howey is one of them. Will Wheaton is one of them. I really enjoyed like just bullshitting with Will.
I mean, the McElroy brothers were on the forefront of this years ago. You can just hear it in the evolution of the podcast where there's the first tentative steps to do the things that they're doing. And yes, I love them so much. I love their program. But you can hear over time where it more and more you get, especially with Griffin and Justin, obviously, you get this feeling of, wow, they're really feeling very ground down by all of this. And eventually they did the thing that, a lot of people do now, which is, well, I use it to promote stuff. And I'm there to like say thank you and respond to people. Not in like a callow way, but like you certainly don't want to make yourself any more vulnerable than you need to be, because then all the, you know, the golden company is going to come in and be all over your shit.
One more to throw out was, I remember Defective Yeti.
Oh God, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
He left Twitter as well. He was one of the last people that was like, you know, Twitter. What? Okay, let me say one more thing about this. Why did I start using Twitter? So I started using Twitter in 2008. I made a Twitter account because when I was working on the Obama presidential campaign in the office, people would use Twitter every day to post where they were going to lunch, and then you could meet up with a group and go out to lunch with a group. And otherwise, like, we didn't have Slack back in those days. Mm-hmm. There were some like IRC stuff going on, but like there was no, and like AIM and stuff, but like Twitter was like the tool where everyone would just say where they were getting lunch, and it was more of like almost like group texting was like, mm-hmm, I think a better description of Twitter in those very early days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And which group texting I don't think existed, but anyway, then so I used it for that, and then I really quickly found this group of people that were making, they were using Twitter to make jokes, and I thought that was really cool. Like, that's really different. You know, what do you think of when people would think of how you're supposed to use Twitter? I guess you'd use it as like, I don't know, like gossiping and just talking about the news.
I would think of, I think excellent Twitter back in the day would be somebody like Fireland. It would be somebody like Adam Lissagor, but like people who had really mastered like what to do in that space.
But what I'm saying is that was a hack. Like I don't think that like the Twitter, the general use case of Twitter was I'm doing jokes. The general use case was people posting pictures of their lunch and stuff.
Yeah, I got diarrhea from Thai food, had a great run.
and then the joke guys came, and then there was like Favard, and that's how Favard was great because you could find, mm-hmm, the joke people.
Initially, it was the greatest thing I ever had in my life for a while.
Yeah.
It was a constant delight. And even, I'm going to say, even before it tipped, because eventually it just came all about, I'm home alone eating ice cream and playing with my dildo Saturday night. And it's like, oh, fuck. It's like it became this way of like, yeah, look at me. I'm talking about finger banging. And like it turned into this like, oh, man, there's just like easy hearts for all this stuff. But like it was so gold for this little period, probably shorter than I even remember. But I mean, that's how I met Scott and Adam was through that. Honestly, that's how we became friends. And people like Moltz, who I knew a little bit, but like there are all these people who were fucking with what Twitter was for. And this kind of leads to our challenge a little bit today, which is people were crafting something where the spelling was right and the punctuation was right, and it was so funny. And they learned how to put the funny part at the end of the tweet, and they were all like. And now some of them are writing for comedy shows because they're really fucking good. Anyway, sorry. That's why you came, though. You came because of Obama. Obama made you come.
And now those people... Obama made a lot of people come.
Phrasing!
Now all those people are gone and Twitter sucks ass.
Yep. Yep, we've all muted each other. We all live in our own little bubble and we don't see each other anymore.
we Pornhub, XTube. I know the
names better than my anywhere. Grandmother's name.
we used to tell people how we felt. Now what do we text each other with emoji?
Max, it's clear to me that you are pretty much almost completely off Twitter at this point. You deleted it from your phone. You have to enter it manually into your location bar. Have you done any check-ins on Twitter?
Oh, yes. So I went on Twitter the other night. I still have the Twitter. I realized I still have the Twitter app on my iPad. And I was on the iPad and I was like, wonder what's happened on the old Twitter.
Oh, no. You're like John Roderick with the cigarette over the door. Oh, no. Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit. I didn't know I still had this weed.
So I fired it up and I looked at my Menchies and it was fine. There wasn't many of them. And then I just sort of scrolled down the timeline. I immediately got spoiled on Game of Thrones. And I came across three Twitter ads, which are pretty incredible. One of them I haven't sent to you guys yet.
You sent two dingers.
All right, here, I'll just describe it. Okay, so the first one is from...
These are promoted tweets.
These are promoted tweets that were in my feed.
Someone paid for this thing to be in your face.
Yes. Now, the first one is from John Legere, who's the CEO of T-Mobile. And it's Jean. It's a goofy looking guy, and he's wearing a pink T-shirt, and he has a black chef's hat on, and he's looking. He looks very manic. He has crazy eyes, and he's staring right into the camera in his profile picture. And there's a promoted tweet.
He's got big tax haven energy.
Yeah.
like you know who's the antivirus software guy?
I was just about to say he's got big John McAfee energy. He probably owns a lot of like automatic weapons. Is my guess. Now, so
his face is really upsetting.
So it's a promoted tweet from Jean Legere, and it shows me like a whole card, you know, those Twitter cards of his profile. So like his banner image and his thing, and it's like follow Jean Legere, and then it says stop exclamation point you why aren't you following me comma T-Mobile CEO do you not like free stuff or something. And then it just has a call to action, like a button in line in Twitter that says follow Jean Legere, and then it's promoted.
24,300 likes.
Merlin, could you read Jean Legere's bio for us?
Yes, I'd love to. Do you have a sense? Do you know what country he's from? Is there a voice that I could do for Mr. Legere?
I'm pretty sure French.
Okay, sounds French.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you also know they have a service mark on magenta. Do you know that?
Mm. What? No, I did not.
They have a service mark on the color magenta.
Ah, how is that possible?
That's incredible, actually.
I don't know. EU. Hmm. Magenta wearing, customer loving at T-Mobile, USA CEO. No, he's Italian. USA CEO focused on editing. Oh, fuck me, gently. Magenta wearing, customer loving at T-Mobile, USA CEO focused on ending wireless pain points, ampersand scaring our competitors. Also, pound sign, I'm Batman.
Oh, God, it's almost as bad as the three things bio. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Writer, lover, human. Disruptor.
That promoted tweet upsets me so much. Stop. Why aren't you following me?
You guys got to see. This has got to be show art because he's got such fucking weird energy in his weird magenta copyright.
His thing says, his apron says in! Exclamation
okay,
point.
So then I saw another one. And this is a tweet. This is another promoted tweet. I'm going to send you the screen grab. So here it is. So it's right in the middle there. And it says, and it's from at Mr. Peanut. And it's a promoted tweet. And it's a picture of Mr. Peanut in the avatar. And it just says, anybody want a peanut?
That's a reference. Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride.
Anybody want a peanut?
That's funny. That's funny. Mr. Peanut said that. The peanut man.
Why are they paying to make me see that?
Why does he need a monocle? I mean, what did he have an injury in the war? Was he a nom? What happened? Why does he have a monocle? He's very fancy. Now, I always liked the pretzel guy. You remember the pretzel guy?
Who's the pretzel guy?
Anybody want a peanut? Mr. I think his name was improbably Mr. Salty.
One of the all-time great tweets is from Cohen at Skull Mandible, and he said, "Is there anything more capitalist than a peanut wearing a top hat, cane, and monocle selling you other peanuts to eat?"
Pimp.
And then the last one, and this is the one that really broke my spirit. So this is another promoted tweet, and it's one of these. Have you guys seen these? It's Twitter surveys, and it's like, and it comes up as a tweet, and it's like, Twitter would like your feedback, and then it's a poll, and obviously someone's paying for this.
I only ever see promoted tweets in, forgive me, I only ever see it in Twitter moments, and it's always like, you know, everyone is wrecked about this YouTuber's haircut and nails, and then it'll be a promoted tweet for fucking T-Mobile or whatever. You're getting it in your Menchies or in your main timeline.
Yeah, but I don't remember previously getting promoted tweets, and then when I went on, it was just like, blow, just in my face, just ads. So this one is it's from at Twitter surveys, and it says Twitter would like your feedback, and it says promoted on the bottom. So I know that someone paid for me to see this in my feed, but. It's not branded in any way. And so it just says, question one of three. Which of the following do you most associate with supporting gender equality? A, American Express. B, Visa. C, PayPal. D, MasterCard. E, none of the above.
That's a real thinker. I gotta think on that. It's not an angle that had ever been presented to me before,
my God.
I'm gonna look at that for a while because I don't know what the answer is. I got to think about that.
It's
What now, Alex? Alex, you're interested in gender equality. How do you feel about MasterCard?
MasterCard. You know, they've got two circles. They're the same. Oh, yeah. They go over each other to form a Venn diagram.
It's so weird.
Come on in, buys.
Mm-hmm. If you go to I just went to twitter.com/twittersurveys, and it says these tweets are protected. They have a locked account.
That's weird. Do you remember that one time that there was Tim Cook or Apple? There was a tweet around the time an Apple event started, and like you could only. Do you remember this, Alex? It was so fucking weird. It was this tweet that went up. They never tweeted from this new account before, was it? And like, but you could only see it if you went to the detail page for that tweet. It wasn't like available in like a regular. It was really strange. It was something that nobody had ever seen before.
So Twitter, one thing I've observed about Twitter is they have a lot of ad tech. I mean, they don't really advance their own platform very much for regular users, but their ad platform is super advanced, and they're constantly doing new shit. It's very experimental, and they're rolling out new features all the time. I mean, they're just like rocket fuel behind that ad platform. And I think a lot of times there's like weird incongruous shit happens on Twitter, like this like branded Twitter surveys, like accounts that break the rules, like, you know, all kinds of weird stuff like that. And I think it's like a result of that they'll basically do anything for their ads platform. Like all their like alleged like rules are out the window when it comes to the ad platform.
I wonder if it's intentionally experimental or they're just trying so hard to like hit a really specific mark like Facebook that they just shoot way too far. Because I get like ads for mortgages and like shit that I am not interested in. Whereas I go on Instagram, it's like very specific. Like, yeah, you want this toothbrush flavored purple. Yep. Okay. Moving on. An iPhone case. Yeah.
You know what? No. I know exactly what you mean. And you know what was funny was, it was really interesting and fun and exciting to be there as Google got good. Mm-hmm. Like initially when Google came, you know, straight out of the box, they were instantly, because of the way they use relevance and PageRank, they instantly were better than AltaVista, which had previously been the really good one. But they continued to do such fascinating stuff. Something pretty much, you know, all of us very online people know today is that your Google search returns will vary based upon your history and what they think you want. And they're actually like pretty shockingly good at it. They got rid of spam. But like you see stuff where somebody goes, oh my gosh, look at this. Look at the returns for this thing. And you're like, dude, that's because you're you. Like, what I'm trying to get at is, ever since then, we all see a different internet in a lot of ways. I guess on Facebook this is really true, but I bet it's also pretty true on Twitter, which is the Twitter that you have, you know, based on, like, whether you're verified or not, or whether you're this, and where you live. You're going to see a different internet. No two people are looking at the same internet so much anymore.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. And
you made me sad. That's all.
Well, no, it's just that that's important to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about the bubbles that we all live in, and on the one hand, the comfort of having people who, you know, you have common cause with, but also the fact that, you know, the people our perceived enemies out there are our adversaries are seeing such different things than we are. I mean, I imagine, I'm speculating, but I'm pretty sure that's kind of the problem in some ways with Facebook, is that you're getting this incredibly tailored idea of what the truth is or what's current or what other people truly believe. And I think I'm sorry, I've made the show upsetting.
Here's one thing I love. I to get my news when I wake up, I used to go on Twitter and be like, what's everyone mad about today? Now I open up Apple News, which is like, I don't know why, it's just the one that I've stuck. I feel like, I guess I find the most stories relevant to me on Apple News. But then they have this thing, if you scroll down, called trending stories. And when you talk about like, boy, I'm really living somewhere else. I'm on some sort of weird asteroid compared to the rest of civilization. Like it's wild on trending stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, so some of the people on Necktie Twitter have been talking a lot about this. Yeah. Lately, and
Amy Schumer shares pumping photo and sends love to those who mom shamed her for returning to work.
Hmm. Yes,
wait,
queen.
Wow. My trending stories are not super. Yeah, political. Oh,
gold miners must focus on returns mergers to attract investment. Barrick CEO.
This is the world's rarest form of gold. New clues are revealing why.
Fact box. Grey Bull Capital faces more public ire after British Steel collapse. And then they have these ones where it's like, it's like a collection, I guess. And it's like, and so the headline is, what's really going on with Britney Spears? And then the subheadline is, her personal battles are back in the spotlight. Plus, why middle-aged millennials are in crisis, how one man made sperm donation a full-time job, and more.
I just sent you a link. I can't promise that this still works, but because it's hard to tell if it works. Oh, God, he's a Bitcoin guy. Check that out. If you add the following words, quote unquote, the phrases basically with underscores. If you add these three, I think I sent it to the right place. Are you guys seeing that, the muted words thing?
It's taking a very long time to load.
Oh, I see. Okay, got it.
So this is a little trick that I think still works, which is this guy says, if you add the following three items to your muted word list, it seems to remove the liked by and followed by tweets from your timeline and restores it to chronological order. But like, there are like contra codes out there for doing stuff with Twitter. And it would be really interesting to see if there's any more like this. This is just like a little hack that, you know, they might have even closed the loop by now. But that's what we've resorted to.
Listen, one thing I do like about Twitter, and I did, you know, one of the things I'll always go is I'll do a little name search for Dubai Friday and just see what people are posting. One thing I've really, that has made Twitter, like, honestly much more cool is the clip sharing from Overcast. We have not talked about that very much on the show, except to say that is probably one of my favorite software features of any software I use of the last decade. Like, I just use it. I mean, I use it several times a day to send people something I listen to. It's so easy to use. It's so well designed. And it's one of these things, you know, some tech is like, okay, I recognize that it's a personal convenience for me, but I think it's like bad for the world. Mm-hmm. And this is the opposite of that. It's like great for me, but then I also love the effect it has on the world because like people are sharing more audio and it encourages me to like find new shows and listen to them. So kudos to Marco for making, I mean, honestly, one of the coolest, best software things I have played with in a long time. And also, thank you to all of the Dubai Friday listeners who are posting funny clips. Like, we had a lot of people clipped that.
Oh, my God, the egg drop.
The egg drop. Yeah, it really made me laugh every time. If you do, we have this thing set up. If you go to giveusyourfuckingtime.com, and it's a spreadsheet where listeners of the show have sort of put in a lot of their favorite moments of Dubai Friday. And people should start clipping that and putting it on Twitter, and we will at least I'll try and retweet it if I see it.
Like they used to say in the old commercial, I like making it and eating it. Like, it's fun to hear people find an old bit and post it on something I'm involved with. You know, if it's like a great moment with Dan or John or somebody, it makes me really happy. But honestly, I like doing it too. I'm trying not to overwhelm people, you know, with too much of it. But there are some times, you know, in the 1 minute limit, I think I like the 1 minute limit. Although sometimes it's a little frustrating that you can't really get the whole thing.
Marco, listen to me. This is Max. Marco, I will deliver a briefcase of cash to your house if you give me a special test flight build of Overcast.
He tried that bag and didn't like it.
What's that?
Oh, whatever you give him. Yeah, no, he tried the Synapse. Whatever bag you give him, he'll just throw out the money and return the bag. He's very picky about his backpacks.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll bring it in a reusable grocery bag or something. You just throw it out. But, no, listen.
You should bring him several bags, and they can pick the top four, but not really.
Please, I'm begging you. Please let me clip private RSS feeds.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want everyone to have it because I make
somebody posted my Max impersonation from the after show.
Yeah,
using,
how did they do?
But I
don't
screen cap. I think they did the iOS screen cap.
They did screen cap. Yeah. So it's listen, here's my argument for Marco to do it is like, it's, you can already do it. You can already do it using the native software in the phone. Let me also be clear, as someone who makes a private RSS feed for money, I don't want other people to be able to do this. It's very important that I'm the only one who'd be able to do it.
They call that an exception. In his MySQL, he'd make it so that yours can't be given to the hogs.
Just hard code, exactly. Hard code my account.
That's not a lot to ask.
Into the build. And I want to be able to do any length, and I want private RSS, but I want to be the only one, okay? And Marco, I will give you just cash. Just, I'll drop a duffel bag of cash at your doorstop. Just tell me how much.
Man. Yeah, I'm
I'll be
sure
Overcast double premium. Tier 3 Overcast,
oh,
baby.
Interesting.
Double secret level.
Yeah, double secret probationary Overcast.
You have to go to the top, rubber band down 3 times, do Face ID. You have been identified as Max. Premium, premium, premium. Hello, Max.
Okay, and I don't want this for everyone. I want only
kids
with money.
Synapse backpacks outside.
Duffel bags of cash outside. Only kids with money.
Okay, can I say my other thing?
Yeah, please. Yes, please.
I don't know why I feel the need to share this. I have to imagine that Quinn has said something to you, Alex. To cut a long story short, you know, I'm on a journey with podcast recording. I used to think I was pretty good at it because for years, all I would do was record using Call Recorder, which mm-hmm. produces a, you know, a two-track movie where you get both sides of the conversation. It's been a real easy thing to do. And the thing is now, even as we speak, I'm recording with Audio Hijack so that I can give you a higher quality version.
Good man.
Why do I say this? Yeah, well, thank you. I've played with, you know, various, you know, mute buttons and stuff like that, and I haven't found any that I liked. But so what I normally do, if I have to make a noise, like all this coughing that I'm doing this morning, making mucus, I just go over and I hit the little microphone in Skype, and then that mutes it. Now here's the thing. I'm pretty sure that when I hit the mute in Skype, it's not muting the recording in Audio Hijack. And it only occurred to me yesterday. So I just want to say, everyone should be aware of this. And if anybody has ever heard me literally peeing into a bucket during the show.
I still don't know if it's real. I think about it once a week.
I think it's a bit. I don't think he's really doing that.
I don't know. Hang on. I don't know.
That could be
Clorox,
anything.
Clorox 3.78 quart. Regular bleach.
Merlin, if
and,
you're peeing Clorox, that's a problem.
Oh, no, it's it helps with my spectrum disorders.
Oh, did you read that?
Oh, I read the bleach drinking.
Oh, boy, God, that really...
Anyway, my apology to Quinn and everybody else. So sorry, I'm definitely going to get a mute switch. So people are drinking bleach, then people were mad about the bleach reporter, and then QAnon says, oh, I've been drinking bleach. I call it MMS. Oh, I've been drinking it and fixed everything. I brushed my teeth with it. Ah.
All right, somewhere I missed the threat. What? Okay, how did the bleach story start?
Let me start. I can, Merlin.
Private Facebook groups.
I can fill in the first part of the story, but you're going to have to explain I didn't know the whole thing with the QAnon connection.
Talk about the, was it Brandy? I forget her name, but she did a piece. Yeah.
There was like a story in maybe I think it was the New York Times this week. And basically there's these private Facebook groups for parents of autistic children. And what they do in these groups is they post their quote-unquote miracle cures for autism. And it's, as you can imagine, it's pretty uneducated. And a lot of it is kind of
private groups, though. It's people who are, I would speculate, people who are, I don't say desperate, but people who are looking for a solution. They want something that's going to help with this kid that they love.
Right.
And so they're in there swinging at the fences for whatever's available.
Some of it is goofy of like there was like something in that article about like exposing your kid to moonlight. I mean like literally it's like crazy. It's like it's crazy stuff. But then there's a darker side of it where some of it is basically just child abuse. And there's these people who believe it's sort of this conspiracy that there's like a chemical that you can make your kid drink and it will treat their autism. And the chemical is really dangerous. It's basically bleach. It's like it's like on label use as an industrial like cleaning agent.
Yeah.
And people are making their kids drink it and they're telling stories. They go on the group and they're like, hey, I've been force feeding my kid this bleach and they really hate it. And they cough and they spit it out all the time. What am I doing? How do I make my kid drink this bleach more efficiently? So anyway, that was the article I read. And then basically the article was about these moms who have infiltrated these groups. And they're sort of exposing them and notifying authorities.
And in some cases, like trying to talk people out of it and go, like, you know, that's really not such a good idea. This is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah. You know, I have a very quick divergent thing on this. But like, I mentioned this once before on the podcast, but there's a new book of Cory Doctorow short stories out called Radicalized.
Yes, you recommended it, and it's amazing.
And Cory sent me a really nice, I don't know if he listens to Do by Friday, but he sent me a really nice message, and he was like, thanks for mentioning the book on the podcast.
Well, that's so nice.
And now I'm confused if he listens to it or not. But want to say,
he's got people. I'm sure he's got people.
I just want to say, I'm a big Cory Doctorow fan. I love his sci-fi, and
he's a really smart guy.
I really feel like he's a pretty how do we put it? Like, there's a lot of people in sci-fi who are very smart and they think about the future and what it all means. And Corey's the one who is the right most of the time, yeah, to put it bluntly. And so he writes sort of near future science fiction. At the time I recommended it, I was recommending the first story in this anthology called Radicalized, which is still my favorite one in the book. But I've since finished the book and it fucked me up. Like, I think about it constantly. Mm-hmm. It was so, so good. It is my favorite thing that Corey's written since like Little Brother. Like, it just really, it's just sometimes you read something and it just gets under your skin. And this one just got right under my skin. And I think about it all the time. And everywhere I go in the world, I see something and I'm like, God damn, that's the thing from the story in the book. And there's a story about these men who have a Facebook group because their family members are dying of cancer and they become radicalized. And they decide how to get vengeance on the insurance companies. And it's just, he just nails this whole culture, the secret Facebook group, the mm-hmm. emotions of it, the tech side of it, the political implications, like it just nails it. And it's funny and it's like chilling and it makes you mad. And like, I just can't recommend this book enough. So it's Radicalized by Cory Doctorow. And there is a story that is just totally about this. Like, I wish everyone had read it because it's like the smartest commentary on this whole thing. Sorry.
Well, the other thing, just I want to recommend it too because it's obviously he takes it to the, yeah, I read all the stories.
That did you read the last one?
It made me almost want to throw up.
I've had nightmares about this. Yeah. Like actual wake up in the middle of the night scared about it.
Can I unsend the sample to my Kindle?
It's
that last story
was
freaked me out.
The thing that I thought was brilliant was actually the first part, because you see he makes I think the right assumptions about how people get into these groups and how these people are radicalized, and it was chilling and just so upsetting.
But funny. The Facebook one was very funny.
I mean, yeah, but also
it was very funny.
I still like the bread one the most, but yeah, obviously. If you want a happy one, read the bread story. All right, Merlin, please tell me the rest of the upsetting Bleach story.
Superman was good. They're all good, but
that was funny.
Now we've
too.
Said them. Now we've literally said all of them, but they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
But the last one is about a rich guy. Sort of, I sort of imagine him as almost like an Elon Musk figure, and he builds this bunker for when the collapse comes, and then it's just sort of like what happens to him when that plays out. And oh boy, God, is it? It no. is imagined in a detail that I didn't necessarily want to have that imagined in. It was really something.
If you've ever seen like 13, what is it? 13 Cloverfield Lane.
It's
like
yeah.
that, but way better and just a lot more detail and what's going to actually happen, and it's very upsetting. All great, not yeah. great to read at 2 a.m. But mm-hmm. okay, Bleach.
So a couple quick things. The way I saw this was that then after that article went up, there was a lot of backlash, including, I guess, from what let's generally call the alternative medicine community. And so second, I just sent you the link for the Internet Science page for something called Miracle Mineral Supplement, known as MMS. Often referred to as MMS, is chlorine dioxide and industrial bleach. It is made by mixing 28% sodium chloride solution with an acid such as citrus juice. This mixture produces chlorine dioxide, a toxic chemical that in the doses recommended on the labeling can cause nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, severe dehydration, etc. Cutting down a little bit here, MMS is falsely promoted as a cure for HIV, malaria, hepatitis, H1N1, common colds, autism, acne, cancer, and much more.
Wow, I can't believe it cures all those things, and yet people still want to keep it. The medical industrial complex still wants to keep it from the people with their lies.
Thank you. That's part of the problem. And so, does one want to say QAnon? People in the community, let me read you some things that retweet responses.
In the community.
Oh, I'm actually drinking MMS right now for strep, and guess what? It's working. F you, Big Pharma, and yo, fake news BS. And that was quote tweeted by a fella who says, oh, I drank MMS, aka chlorine dioxide, brushed my teeth with it, breathed it, cleaned with it, used it topically. If it was toxic bleach, I should be dead. Sorry, FDA and fake news media, you lose this one.
People, it was originally published by this guy, Jim I'm just reading the Wikipedia now, but it was originally published by Scientologist Jim Humble in his 2006 self-published book, The Miracle Mineral Solution of the 21st Century. Now, people need to be, I think that people should be a little...
I would look out for the word miracle in anything you use for medicine. That's just me. Maybe I'm a secular humanist.
Self-published is also a trigger word for me.
I would just say, like, people should be a little less proud of having written a book, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they could publish this.
Like, everyone needs to chill out
with
their you wrote a book.
Okay, we get it. I'm Jon Snow. I live at Winterfell. Yeah, no, yeah, so that's been some of the backlash. But, you know, Bleach. This is fun. So there's a whole whole series on the internet science site called Alternative and Pseudo Medicine. Oh, there's so much stuff I don't know about here. We might have a challenge here. Cupping therapy, crystal healing.
Oh, we have cupping.
I am doing cupping soon.
We have cupping happening in our very office.
Yes.
You're gonna get cupped
right under your nose.
Is that a hot cup?
We're talking about the like Michael Phelps thing, right? Where you
can
get
you
a massage.
It? Can you explain it?
I'll try. Cupping is like this alternative massage, and a lot of athletes and swimmers get it done where like a suction cup is put on your back.
That's why he had all those hickeys.
I can see why we're paying for that to happen in our office, because we have a lot of we have pretty high performance people in this office. I mean, we've got people writing jokes and spreadsheets. We've got people making InDesign files.
You know, Max, if you add that 1% to your performance, just add 1% to your performance and you become an elite athlete or comedian.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I stand all day except for the 2 hours I sit on the couch by my desk.
What are you standing for?
I don't know. Because someone gave me a standing desk. And then,
you're voluntarily standing at your desk when you write things.
I mean, is it voluntary?
This whole office, all we do, everyone just types things into spreadsheets. Nobody needs athleisure wear. Nobody needs cupping. Okay?
Wear a fucking tie. Man up. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I have a button-down shirt today. It's wrinkled and from Old Navy.
Urine therapy, ear candling, body work, bone setter.
Mm-hmm.
The Bates method.
Oh.
I wonder what the Bates method is. Aimed at improving eyesight. Oh, throw your glasses away. Sure. Applied kinesiology. Huh. Maybe we should try some what they call fringe medicine and science. That's a little normative.
I don't want to, you know, Merlin, can I just throw this out? What if we do some sort of one of these alternative medicine things? We snort some crystals or something.
Yes.
And then the big pharma comes for us because we find out we're going to expose that it actually works.
Right.
No.
Like eating your sunscreen.
I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
Drinking your urine. I have the whole book on drinking your urine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, you sure do.
Mm-hmm.
I could use that that deer attractor you sent me. Made my whole office stink. Is that a therapy? That could be a therapy.
You sprayed it in your office?
Well, I don't know. I was trying to do some deer candling.
Oh, okay.
That's funny.
How are those ladybugs doing?
I let the ladybugs settle in the box for a while.
Settle?
And then put it in the compost. Hakuna Matata.
Oh, they're not moving anymore. I guess it's time to set them free. That means they're ready.
I didn't see the part where it said live animals inside. I should have looked. I was trying to, no spoilers.
Oh, God. Oh, dear. You know what? We could do another Amazon challenge, possibly, but we need your help. Max, can you tell the nice people about Patreon?
Oh, yes. Do by Friday. Listen, guys, here's the deal. This is a completely ad-free show, okay? We don't have Mr. Peanut telling you a message. We don't have a Twitter survey asking you which American Express card is the most supports reparations. Okay, we don't have the CEO of the T-Mobile Corporation crushing Epic Code and firing his assault weapons on air. We don't have any of that stuff, okay? Okay, anything that we talk about. Here's the thing is we haven't been corrupted by Big Pharma, okay? We're going to tell you about the Miracle Mineral Supplement, okay? You're going to hear about this. What are you going to hear about? Chlorine dioxide. You're going to hear about the research of Jim Humble. You're going to hear about MMS.
Breakthrough technologies, like literally peeing into a bleach bottle and then drinking that on air because you didn't mute. Now, that could be a special treat for people who are at the premium level.
It's cleansed, okay? It's cleansed. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, why do you listen to Dubai Friday? It's so that you can hear about all of these miracle treatments that you can be doing and okay, we don't have anything to sell. We're not selling you anything. All we have to offer is the truth. And if that's what you're here for, I would recommend that you go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. Okay, you give us $5 and you'll receive a package of supplements. That what do you have? You have pain, you have multiple chemical sensitivities.
No,
you've got that one where you're sleepy all the time.
No.
Okay. You're gonna take these you're gonna receive a package in the mail of pills and powders.
Ooh. I'm like a bear.
Yep. What do you got? Generalized.
Oh God, you got generalized anxiety disorder.
Generalized anxiety. Mm-hmm.
You've got unexpected rashes. You got piles.
Chronic fatigue.
Foot spaghetti going untreated.
Oh, Morgellons. Well, you could have the Morgellons disease.
Oh no, you get the Joni Mitchell problem. Oh yeah. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now
gang stalking. If you have gang stalking,
yeah.
Help with that.
Okay, oh, now boy. You're gonna receive a pet. Now you go on to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. Okay, that's the Due by Friday Patreon. You give us $5 a month. Now, what does that do? First of all, it keeps the sponsors off the show. That's why we can talk about all of these treatments. Okay, that you're candling, all the stuff that you love.
We can talk about the truth for once.
We tell you the truth. But what else? You're going to receive a box of supplements in the mail. You take these guaranteed.
No.
What do you got? Pain? You're dizzy? You take these.
These are going to be things that we designed in our own, let's say, lab.
Yeah.
These are all new versions of the truth that we are going to send to you.
Now, if you order now, I will throw in my special high testosterone supplement. Okay,
Oh, absolutely. We're gonna do our co-branded Tim Ferriss almond jizz.
You're out there eating too much soy, and you've got low tea.
Oh!
And you don't support our commander in chief because your tea is too low. So that's go to www.giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. And I think we did update. We have like a new, you know, on Patreon, you're supposed to set these like tiers of like, if we get this much money, we'll show our ass on the subway or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have a new one, which, Alex, will you say what it is?
I
obviously know.
I'm just
testing you to make sure you
know. Yeah, yeah. We're going to have an extreme Amazon challenge because, as people may know, it's extreme because you know how you return things from Amazon like every day, because I know that you responsibly return things instead of throwing them away.
I actually returned something to Amazon yesterday.
I was throwing shade at Merlin, actually.
Mm-hmm. I've never returned anything. I just throw it out. But I got a. I ordered a book.
Oh, I don't. I've stopped reporting things that just didn't show up. I just buy it again.
Oh.
Yeah. We didn't get our protein drink. What am I going to do? I'm going to talk to them on the phone. They're going to say, "Oh, I looked at your house on Google Street View. Do you still have a bush there? Could the protein drinks be in the bush?"
I ordered a picture book, and it showed up, and it was just covered in syrup.
Put some jelly on it. You get some jelly.
It smelled like coffee. Like some sort of coffee syrup got into the book. So I went on
the... You ever do the thing where you buy something and you're pretty sure it's supposed to be new?
Yeah.
And it arrives and it's not new?
It was I pre-ordered the book and it was a new book from an illustrator. Like, anyway, so I go on Amazon. And now, have you ever tried to find the button to like tell Amazon something is wrong?
Oh, it's a very... No. Well, first of all, once you get in there, you see that the button is completely different than their design. It's clearly designed in like 1998. And they're like, oh, nobody will find this old thing. It's like in a broom closet of Amazon.
Yeah, you have to fucking go through the hedge maze. And there's a...
First, you must solve my riddle.
Yeah, there's a minotaur chasing you. And you're just like, where is the button to tell you that my thing's not here? It's covered in syrup. And then they had a drop-down menu, and they're like, why are you returning this item?
Why?
And
it was like, why are you not happy?
It wasn't the item I expected. Like, it didn't work how I intended. And I was like, there's no option for it's covered in syrup. They didn't anticipate this.
Max, it seems like it's something they're optimized in so many ways. I mean, it seems like that's something they'd want to know. What percentage of our products show up covered with syrup? They would want to know that.
What I imagine happened is there was someone ordered a gallon drum of syrup in one of those barrels from Breaking Bad, and some poor Amazon warehouse employee was trying to take it down off the shelf, and and it crushed him. And the syrup went everywhere, and it got on everyone else. And they were like, "Back to work."
Well, he was wearing skates. He was wearing skates.
Back to work. No breaks. No breaks.
I'll urinate when I'm dead.
Oh.
So it's going to be an upsetting challenge where we are going to.
We're going to buy one of the Amazon boxes that have been sent to liquidation.com because when you return something to Amazon, usually it just goes into a literal box of garbage. They sell it to some just some company that either repurposes it or throws it away. And I've sent in our super secret text channel my new favorite thing of the day at liquidation.com, which is a box that supposedly is filled with grocery, tea, coffee, snacks, pet food, and more. MSRP $2,000, $2,519. But what you do is bid on these items, and it is currently going for $220. The minimum bid suggested is $230. 91% savings.
Well, I guess, should I click it? Is it going to upset me?
It's a sealed box.
So we're going to buy buy these boxes for each other, and that will be our.
We're going to repurpose them.
It's just a box.
No, look inside. Look inside.
But some of them are like they're in clear, like transparent plastic, and you see it's full of like returned blankets and Elmo dolls.
Yes.
And you're like, what? How did you decide this was the palette to go with?
Exactly.
Well, I'm excited to get someone else's syrupy books.
I'm moist.
I just want a palette of someone else's returned syrupy books.
I believe you'll find my library is rather unique. Hello, yeah, I'm the chef from T-Mobile. Follow me.
I want their syrupy books and their jizzy blankets
and their cum stained Elmo.
Their pharmaceutical products just covered in human hair.
Oh God, this one's sad. Baby Tom
Elmo finds this unconsensual.
No.
Stop tickling me.
I hope that I get one of those sex toys that's just a rubber foot but it's covered in olive oil.
Oh, the fuckable foot. I love the fuckable foot.
Yeah.
It's got labia on the sole of the foot. La, la, la. You put your spaghetti in there. You take it to your workplace. You work at Amazon. You're on roller skates. Boxes are constantly falling on you. Mm-hmm. And you say, lunchtime. And you pull out your fake human foot with a vagina full of spaghetti.
It's,
la, la, la.
It's 180 degrees in there. You're sweating. You can't pee. You're telling me you're not going to fuck a foot if you get a chance?
No.
Oh, boy. Dig Dug Challenge.
Court says T-Mobile owns the color magenta.
Okay. Did anybody do the challenge?
We should make our podcast magenta. Let them sue us.
Ooh, that's a spicy meatball.
Now we're officially. Well, if we were a magenta podcast, what does that mean? It seems like we're co-opting some. I guess we're co-opting T-Mobile.
Oh, like the breast cancer people, like the yogurt, eat yogurt for breast cancer. Like we're against it, like that kind of stuff. Where they don't want you putting pink on things.
I want to know what I am for or against if I'm going to identify as a magenta.
You're a human. You're a human hanky code. Yeah.
Let me tell you what I'm for, guys.
You have the pink one in your left back pocket.
I am for relief from wireless pain points.
Okay.
I'm against high prices for my mobile data.
I'm not going to pay a lot for this data.
I'm for scaring our customers. And also, I am Batman.
I am for this recently returned Himalayan salt lamp full of jizz. I am for the human solution. Hi, welcome to D by Friday. Enjoy your Himalayan salt lamp, if you know what I mean. It takes Wi-Fi out of the air, removes toxins.
Dig,
so how much money do we have to get to buy our Amazon jizz box?
$20,000, because these can go up to $1,000.
Listen, do by Friday, Powder Nation. What are you, freeloading? You're listening to the show.
Yeah.
You're not getting the after show.
They're freebooting,
yeah. Go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. All right, listen, drink your bleach. Man up.
No,
you go to giveusyourfuckingmoney.com. Okay, I personally endorse drinking the bleach, and I guarantee that it will cure your sicknesses. And
we tested it in our lab.
I give my personal guarantee that it will work.
Do you have any idea how much of other people's urine I've been drinking? I have a lab coat and a bachelor's degree.
Okay.
Buy this cum stiffened Elmo and put it in your Himalayan salt lamp. Record yourself fucking the foot with Elmo.
Do you think we'd be recommending these miracle cures if we hadn't personally drank the urine and fucked the foot? Okay.
We couldn't do it legally.
Personally.
We legally would not be able to talk about the way that this truth is going to improve your life.
Yeah. Well, pyramid scheme is illegal.
Oh, it's an inverted triangle.
Mm-hmm. The inverted. Yeah. What is it? The triangles of the convergent triangle.
Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, it's listen, go to giveusyourfuckmoney.com. You could stop freeloading. Honestly, yeah. Come on, be a good person. Drink the bleach. Let's go. Giveusyourfuckmoney.com. Give us $5 a month. You get the Do By Friday after show. Get us to $20. We'll buy the Amazon jizz box. We'll open it on air. Yep. Okay.
If you come on an Elmo this much, you better give us $5, you cuck.
Well, what else are you going to do? What else are you going to do with your life?
What are you going
to
do?
Honest to God.
Fuck.
Dig, Doug. Oh, and challenge. Do clip us.
Find those old clips from the back catalog and put them on Twitter. And if we like it, we'll send you out a Do By Friday wind jacket. Windbreaker. You get one of those windbreakers.
Wait a minute. Was there a meeting I didn't get invited to?
Yeah, Alex,
we need to go make some co-branded duct tape. Don't ask why. I gotta go.
Yeah, if you find one of those clips and we all like
it. I have an idea. We're going to make a tub of Elmer's glue with our faces on it. What? I'm just trying to make dinner. 47 text.
If you find one of those clips and you post it, we will send you in the mail one of our exclusive Do By Friday windbreakers. Okay?
The wind jacket.
Yeah. Wind jacket.
Okay.
Alex, you'll make those and send them to people, right?
Yeah, I'm going to make some bespoke jackets.
Okay, do it out of pocket. I don't want to spend any podcast money.
But I have to like it. That's the problem. Okay, Dig Doug. It was my challenge this week, and the challenge was to start all of the text that you're writing in the application drafts.
Well, I'll go first. I pretty much straight up didn't do this.
All right.
So I got drafts, and I started. So here's what would happen is, I would receive a text message, and I'd be like, okay, I need to reply. And so then I would open drafts, and I would start typing the message, and I would then go to the share sheet and share it to messages and send it to the person it was going to.
You're moving to
drafts like 303 when you haven't done 101.
So I did it wrong?
No, you did. Well, you didn't do the challenge, which is a kind of doing the challenge.
But I gave up on it. I mean, I did that like 4 times and I was like, this sucks ass.
That's shocking.
I mean, doing your text messages and drafts is not great. Now, I did see that Merlin sent a list of the top drafts actions. Mm-hmm. And I was pretty excited by that. But I have not had time to go back and start adding stuff to drafts. But that is going to give me... I did get a little bit of more wind in my sails to keep playing with it after I saw that, because there's some stuff in there I didn't even know I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually, I guess, failed at this challenge, too, only because you know how our Survivor text threads get, and I would just get a little too excited and then forget to go to another application to immediately reply.
I just want to clarify, at least in my dumb head, I did not hear that as every text you ever write, even if it's a response to one of Max's 47 tweet threads about the Survivor spoilers, I absolutely don't want to hear. I didn't, for me, just because of the way I'm already wired, my reading of it, and I guess we talked about this before, and we talked about this some in the after show, and it seems silly to be serious now after all this come. But for me, this is why I say drafts is where text begins. Mm-hmm. That might even be their thing. I don't know. But it's where stuff starts. And just to very briefly, can I briefly do a pitch here?
Do the thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we talked about this in the after show last week, but I just want to clarify why I think the general idea of this is very interesting. I traced it back to the days of early Twitter and wanting to try hard, be a try hard, to do a really good job with a Twitter and make a nice Twitter that's the right length. And that was when I had a little bit of a breakthrough of I got better when I was separating the thing I used to write versus the thing I used to send. That's the little silly basic distinction. So one benefit, that was a breakthrough. But then the real benefit is this, which is if you realize you have to communicate something to somebody, and this, I realize this seems weird, Max, but I think it can work. Go outside the thing you use to send it to a place where you want to write it. And we can get to some of the functionality of drafts in a sec, but here's the distinction. You go in and you say, okay, I got to send somebody an email. So I could do that in the horrible mail.app, but no, I'm going to go into this drafts thing. And then I start typing it and typing it. Like, oh, it could be you say I got to text somebody, but then you realize it's longer than a text. And you go, oh, this is actually probably two or three texts. And you can mentally separate it into like which text those would be. And then you say, oh, no, wait a minute. I don't want to send this person four texts. Fuck. Why don't I send them an email? And so now it's changed the thing that you're writing in front of you without any commitment to where that will end up or how. You now have the opportunity to pivot on what it really should be. And then the beauty part and the spoiler for the ending is sometimes you go, shit, I don't need to send this. But if you do that, if you're doing that inside the app you use to send it, you just go, bah, 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 and you just jam on the keyboard and send it. So it's just a nice opportunity to be able to do that. And then once you are in drafts, as you've noted, there are numerous things. The whole point of drafts beyond having a place to write is now you can do stuff with it. You could say, there's so much amazing automation for sending this to that place. One of the pieces of pure gold for me, because, the email guy, is it's a great place if you just need to send an email and you don't want to look at your fucking inbox. It interprets that the first line is the subject line. You get two spaces, and then everything else is the body of the email. You can send that from drafts without having to open an email app. So stuff like that. That's why I think it's interesting. Like, you don't have to do this all the time, but if you open your mind to the idea that this could turn into anything, it's in this very, there's a lot of fecundity to anything that you put into drafts. It could turn into almost anything. So, yeah, that's why I think it's useful, but I don't think you need to write all your responses in there. You're not a monster.
It was just an experiment in sort of more so of mindfulness than the actual functionality of drafts, because I get into all the weird automation and stuff, and like everything does start there, and then it goes to an email or to, you know, things or OmniFocus and whatever. And I love the new thing in drafts. Are we on five? Yeah, we're on five, where if you do an action, you can have that, like, let's say there's one called Tweet Storm, where you can basically,
oh my gosh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
That you just, it'll turn your thing into tweets, and it'll do like the one out of four or whatever, and then you can send it off to Twitter. But then you don't have to
just
like
snort a big line of bleach and pop off on a 400 tweet rant.
I know people who use drafts only for this. but then it will tag and archive or delete whatever you decide to do with it. It will automatically do that after it's performed in action. And I don't think that was a part of Drafts 4, or maybe it was and I didn't utilize it. But then at the end of the day, like, if there's anything left in my inbox, I know that it's either not important or it needs to go somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, interesting. I just keep everything. This is the opposite of how I do email. I should probably come up with a name for this. But the way that I do in drafts, I just let everything be in the inbox, and then I just do little subsorts. And, you know, you can do that thing like save searches or what I call it, workspaces.
You're not replying to every email?
Well, I reply until I literally fall down on my keyboard, because can I give a couple good ones that are just real, real dumb and obvious and old school? And I apologize in advance to Agile Tortoise that I have not spent tons more time learning new things. But like, here's a real dumb one. You type something in drafts, there's a copy button. You hit copy, you copied it. That's easy. Here's one I really love. This is so useful for me in my workflow, which is I know I got to type a thing. I start typing a thing. I'm not sure what it's going to be yet, right? It could be a text. It could be an email.
Workflow.
You'll get your serious shortcuts. So I type something. And then let's say I get to where I'm like, you know what? Shit, dog. This is not for anybody else. This is just for me. For like, this is some kind of a note. Maybe it's like an idea for a bit or whatever. At that point, I add a couple spaces at the beginning and I type a unique-ish name or an identifying name. And then when I hit my button called new file, it takes the contents of that thing and it creates a new file in Dropbox that goes to my, you know, text file system of NVAlt, et cetera, with the top line as the first part of the document's name. And then it adds a unique timestamp to it so I don't get anything clobbered. So I can just jump into Dress, go ticka, 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 and then say save file. And now that's in my system for where I want to look at it later. Love stuff like that. I got a journal in iCloud like I can send to. You can save stuff to files. There's a really tricked out one for Fantastical. I'm kind of off Fantastical as my main one, but
boy, I am living that Fantastical lifestyle.
Well, you should see in that list that I sent you, there's some pretty bananas. There's a new-ish Fantastical one that is wild.
Okay, I have a couple of can I ask a couple of questions about this?
Please.
First of all, I know you don't need to say why you don't like anything or whatever, but I'm curious what you're doing for your calendar now and what you liked and didn't like about Fantastical, because it's for me it feels like such a good fit. I like everything about it for me personally.
Oh no, it is. It really is. Do you have a thought on this, Alex?
I am actually really curious to hear that too. I sort of
do you remember Calvetica?
I sure do.
Yeah,
back in the day.
That was the first one and the Moleskine one were like, you know, actually pretty good and super pretty.
But Calvetica, in addition to displaying your calendar in a very useful way, it had the first sort of soft calendar, soft text recognition calendar entry. You know, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
like where it's doing the not natural language, but where it's parsing.
It's almost, you know, it's, I would say it's almost, for me, like, it's almost closest to knowing some regular expressions of, like, if you just know what symbols to use and the order to type it.
Oh, yeah. OmniFocus used to have that. Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, I'm curious what you're using now.
Sure. Well, let me talk about iOS in a second. I no longer hate the calendar app on macOS, Pounce on Merlin shit list. The one I do like, I gotta say, is BusyCal. And that's my primary on desktop, where I do a lot of my stuff.
Huh.
What's that?
BusyCal.
BusyCal by the Busy Mac people. When Christ was a corporal.
Busy Apps FZE?
The folks who do Busy Mac are also the same people that created Now Up to Date and Now Contact in the 90s, which are still, Now Contact in 1995 is still light years away from what contacts can do today. How about this? You ever think it's a little bit nuts that everybody you know who works for the company called Cards Against Humanity does not have it, you don't have a semantic way to like see everybody who works at Cards Against Humanity? They had that in the mid 90s. Like, it's pretty crazy. So anyway, it's a great company. They do good stuff. And they do have a BusyCal for iOS that I like pretty well. And I'm going to get to my beefs with iOS calendars in a sec. But I really like BusyCal. It's probably not, you don't probably need a lot of this stuff. It's one of those where, like, calendar might be fine for you, but this has so much great tricked out stuff, including a very good natural language. So if you hit, like, Option Command N, you get a, it parses the way that, Fantastical does. It also does this really cool thing where you can have sets of calendars that it remembers. So you want to see, I have one called the Fire Hose, which is everything. And I have another one, which is called Core. And so if I click on those without having to do anything, special or tweedly, it like brings up all of that stuff. I do really like BusyCal on the Mac. Go ahead. You're gonna say something?
Oh, I'm downloading BusyCal on my phone now. I'm excited to poke around at it.
I think iOS calendars are, it's complicated because there's all these different things I personally want out of a calendar. I really do love, one of the things I use my HomePod for is, I'll just say, hey, Dingus, let's see. I did it this morning.
The problem with that is it. So I have my calendar, which I keep fairly under control. Like I prune it, but then I'm subscribed to about 40 calendars.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we have a calendar, for example, that I'm subscribed to that shows every podcast that records in our podcast studio.
Mm-hmm.
And when I ask my Siri ball to tell me, Hey Siri ball, what's on my schedule today? Shut up. Stop it. And
And it also does that whole like you already are doing a thing at the time, and you're like,
I know, and like, yeah, and I don't know how to have it. I only want my calendar. I don't want the other 39 calendars that I'm subscribed to. It's very frustrating.
Well, so let me see if I can send this. I'm probably going to show my balls in this, but here's here is so it does have those groups, but it's also got folder level sorting. So if you don't need it, you can just hide the sidebar. Like you don't need to see it. And don't do a home screen thing on me here, Alex. I'm sorry. I know my life is weird. But in addition to the like groups you can show up, you have these folders where you can say like show these things. show those things, and you can have these sort of concentric circles of things. So like if I don't want to see the Warriors schedule that I'm subscribed to, I can shut that off, etc. So just even that ability to click or command click.
Oh, I didn't know you could have. So I use this too, but I'm like just an animal unchecking things that I don't want to see.
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
Wait,
oh,
so say
oh,
that again.
This is perfect.
What's the difference? What are you doing?
So I sent it in the screen grab I sent you. So for example, I have one here. So there's a folder in my side rail for my Google calendars. Without saying too much, I've got everybody has their primary Google calendar that has special things about it. As
right,
you probably
right, right.
know, it's got different abilities than other things. And that's the one I use for all the stuff that really pretty much only I need to know about. But my family has access to it. They can see what I'm doing. That's no problem. I have one called Alcove Hides that I use historically as for like journal or ephemeral stuff. Like here's the day I changed my medication. And I don't use it too much anymore.
That's so smart. You
Isn't
don't
cool.
put that on your main calendar.
Mm-hmm. Increasingly I use that one under Section 4 Blorp. I have one called Journal that I use for that now. I don't even really use Alcofides. Environment and big family calendar is the shared family calendar where anything that the family needs to know about, whether it involves you or not, goes on big family calendar. And then I have one called Environment, which sounds nuts, but it's sort of a meta infrastructure one. That's also where all my deliveries from the deliveries app get piped into Environment. So mm-hmm. it's all stuff that Max is in town this week. You know, Alex is out of town that week. It could just be stuff where like, I don't need to.
This is a better, my life is a fucking mess compared to this. I really should be doing this.
You need to get the system that works for you, but like,
man, this is one of those like Merlin Mann things where you're like,
yeah.
It's like it's a something small, but you're just, it's like, you know, it's like when it's like the, the Earth is not in the center of the solar system. Like it's better to look at it this way. And then all of mm-hmm. a sudden you're like, fuck me.
Yeah.
I was worshiping the wrong sun god.
I mean, I would be more than happy to talk about any aspect of that, but just to highlight why I like this on the desktop in particular, like I say, it's easy and fast to create events. And then, so having these folders and the folders just makes it real easy to keep things pared down. Now, normally, I click that thing up in the left that's similar to OmniFocus, where like I don't need to see the side rail. Like mm-hmm. I know what calendars I mostly want to see, so that works great. So let's get to why iOS is rough, because I want an iOS calendar. And there I have, as you're going to find out in a minute, an embarrassment of riches for these. Why? Some do stuff better than others. And I whatever I'm using, it needs to work for what I need right that second. And I'm phrasing this in an important way. What I need right that second on an iPhone. Okay. So what is it I might need? Well, I might need to create an event. I might need to see what's happening today. I might need to see, importantly for me, like what's happening this week when I plan things, as because I'm Merlin Mann, I always look at whenever I plan fucking anything that I have control over, I look at what's happening 2 days before, 2 days after. Do I have an early day and didn't know about it? Is somebody traveling and I didn't know about it? I need situational awareness into the context that lets me make a good decision. And then finally, I might want to look at the month. These are just a few of the things. Now, is there any one app that is awesome at all of those things? Maybe. But some apps have a great list view for the day that pulls in my reminders that I want to see there. That's really cool. Some like Fantastical is actually pretty good for the week. At the point of week and month, you start breaking down a little bit with the screen size and mm-hmm. you start getting like colored dots. And it's like, you know, and so I'm resistant to just sticking with one. And there's no cost to having more than one on here. I've already bought them with money. It all syncs. We're done with the sync problem. And I can tell you the ones I use and like for different kinds of things. Are there any questions at this point?
I don't.
My mind is blown.
So I realize I'm definitely underutilizing this.
I have six calendars. I have six calendars on my phone. Six calendar apps. And so like one that I've discovered recently that I really like as a go-to, just show me what's happening today, is called Calendar 366. And it's got several different really good and customizable views.
It's like weird to me to have more than one calendar.
Why do you own more than one knife?
Because I lose them and then I need another one.
Exactly. The same happens to me. I'm constantly losing calendars. What? a paring knife, a butcher knife, a Japanese knife, those are all for different things. The knife I use to like slice a roast is different than the knife I use to unscrew a screw on some kind of a thing. No, it's basically like that. We're like, once I bought the knives, there's no cost to keeping them around apart from, you know, cutting myself.
Calendar 366 for all your plans.
But this is part of the challenge. And calendar 366 is also what I have as my display calendar in my menu bar on macOS, because I like the way you can configure what it looks like.
I'm gonna buy it for $6.99.
Well, as you can maybe see from screenshots, and you guys jump in at any point, is that you can see how this is a really good, hey, show me what's happening today. But in my case, I have the month calendar above and the list of what's happening below. And that works so well for me. And again, this has grouping of calendars that you can have however you want. I've got a fire hose in there. I've got Fantastical. I was really into Calendars 5 for a long time. I still like it. The one I mainly look at, I've got BusyCal for iOS, but I haven't spent a ton of time with it. You know, it's just whatever I need to do. I have this intuition about which one of these knives I need.
And does it all sync seamlessly? Like,
pretty much flawlessly. Better than Apple Notes.
Sometimes if I use...
I forgot to sync Apple Notes before I got on the plane.
Right.
Sometimes I have a... if I'm using Fantastical and Google Calendar, like on the web, I get problems. I get ants.
You get... That's how you get ants. Is it because you're getting duplicates?
I don't know what's happening. It's just time zone. Shit gets put in at the
weird. Let me see if they still have this functionality.
I had a subtopic. I have a little rant to pop off on. That this is something the drafts challenge made me think about, but it's not really necessary. I don't know. Maybe it's sort of addressed by drafts. But I feel like I'm perpetually...
Oh, my God, Alex.
Wait, what? Oh, sorry. No, this was from before, and then I accidentally hit enter. But this is kind of how I... No. Okay.
Yeah, so that's what Alex has
so
to
you
do today.
Can't, so you see how... Like,
Alex,
I'm
going to need you to go pick up... I'm going to need you to do my dry cleaning.
Well, we need to wrap this up because we've got to go somewhere. But like
those... Okay, so some of these are subscribed things.
Right.
This is giving me an anxiety disorder looking at this.
You have so much overlap.
For example... If there wasn't, so those red and green calendars, those are the studios, right? And if I see that there's a ton of red or there's not a ton of green.
They're essentially like informationally, they're read only for making a situational awareness decision.
That's kind of how it is. I'm like, okay, what is there a reason someone isn't using that? Oh, it's Memorial Day. Okay. So then I like let people know, hey, studio's not being utilized, like stuff like that. And but there's nothing like this on iOS. That can, I don't know, what would you call it? Spatial awareness?
Like that calendar 366 does that.
Oh, interesting.
It does have the groups. It has the groups that you can flick on and off pretty easily. That might be handy for, I'm not here to sell that particular one, but that's the one that I've gotten lately. The truth is I'm still in a state of mind. I want to hear you pop off. I'm still in a state of mind where if I got to do fucking shit, like real shit, I do it on my Mac. I'm still that guy. Or the iPad. I don't want to do a ton of what this calendar presents to me on my phone. It would just be excruciating to me.
All right, so back to the drafts thing for a second. So I feel like one of the most common messages that I send people, like just several times a day, is, can you please email this to me? Please send me an email. I'm constantly replying people with just like, you know, my maxotemkin.com, email me. And I feel like people are very thoughtless in like the way that they contact you. And then I always think people always think I'm like a pedant or people must think I'm an asshole because I'm constantly like, please text me about that. Please email me about that. Like, this is a phone call. Like, this is a meeting, you know, whatever it is. Because I think it must drive people insane. But like, so I just want to go through like my philosophy on this because I've probably thought about this like too much. But basically, if you have a short piece of information that is time sensitive that you need to, if it's like, Alex, I have locked myself out of the studio and I need help, that's a text message because it's going to make Alex's phone buzz. It's going to interrupt what she's doing. She's going to see it and then have to like make a decision and reply to me. And it's just like a quick message, right? Mm-hmm. On the other hand,
quick, time sensitive and actionable.
Yeah, like I need a thing to happen right now.
You're asking for a specific thing in the universe to change at a certain time.
Yeah.
Like now.
Yeah. And similarly, there's lots of things where it's like people want to like download a bunch of information to me. Like I am having people over for dinner on this date at this time, and could you bring an appetizer and email me any dietary restrictions and, you know, your guest list or whatever. And it's like, God damn, like, don't send me that as a text. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Because that's an email. Like, I need to be, like, at my computer and do, like, I need
to,
like...
To me, it would be an email with a bulleted list inside of it. It almost looks like a checklist of, like, here's an array of things that I'm asking you to do.
I'm constantly writing people back and going, like, I can't... I'm not equipped to handle this on my iPhone. Like, to email me. Like,
someone should write a book about this, but this is one of the challenges of being accessible to other people. It's something I've said for a long time, and I really believe, and I really try to keep in mind, even when I fail terribly, is that there's a real disadvantage to being widely available to lots of people at lots of different times in lots of different ways, in no small part because there's a thing that we want or need right now more than anything in the world. And that could be getting a key to the office, but it could also be like, I just need to get this off my plate. And I think there is a tendency that all these options have afforded us that causes us to be somewhat careless with the way that we contact and essentially assign time and attention to other people.
Oh, yeah.
Meaning, you don't think about the best way to consume it. You think about the most fun way to make it. You might be making the shittiest fucking popcorn in the world, but that's what you feel like making right now, and then you dump it all over your fucking team. And that's the problem. And so people think about, like, oh, like, I got to go do the thing right now, and they go and they do the thing. And it's like, if they had stopped and thought about it and done a drafts-like mindfulness, they would look at that and go, you know, how would I feel about getting this message in this way through this medium, and would it be something that I find effective and something I'm even looking forward to doing? No, I'm not. Now I'm fucking mad because now I got a bunch of texts that are just like, it's just like angry garbage monsters are waiting for me on my phone. and now I'm sad. Well, like, if you had paused on that, you could text somebody and say, I got a bunch of stuff I want to send you about the party on Saturday. Is email the best way to do that? Like, you don't have to be totally millennial about it, but, like, don't just do the thing that's most convenient or easy for you. Don't be a dick.
Yeah. A good, along those lines, what this is making me think of is, like, this is like a good, like, leadership skill that I've learned in my life of having to figure this shit out on the fly is, like, I manage like a team of people at Cards, and it's very like something I've learned that you're like allowed to say is like sometimes I have a meeting with people and they bring me lots of problems and they're like, here's a bunch of problems I've encountered. You're allowed to say to people, like, I don't want your problems. Like, you figure out how to fix this and like give me some options of how to solve this problem. Like, I know it's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's why I hired you. Like,
that's why you're here.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't dump your problems on my desk. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? Like,
this is something when I was a bad project manager, as I've recently revealed on another podcast, but it is something I did learn is that a lot of my goals when I would send people an email in particular was to, with a combination of timing, subject, and message, it was my idea to make it clear to people without having to read the email what it was about. I mean, so just from the subject line, they should be able to grok what it's about and why they're getting it from the subject line. Which I think is surprisingly few number of people like spend a lot of time on today. That's goal number one, is like, let this be the one thing in this person's inbox that they have no trouble having to taxonomize in their life.
Yes, yes. Like, you have no idea. Like, I get so much email, and if someone takes the time to just...
Don't send a subject line update.
Yeah.
What the fuck does that mean?
Oh. If someone takes the time to say at the end of their email or like just to lead off and say, Max, I would like you to speak at our conference, I cannot offer you money, here's the dates, you know, and this is the decision point, and then give me your 12 paragraphs of what your mission is or whatever. Like, I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, because it may, like, I, like, otherwise, like, I'm sitting there staring at this thing and I'm like, what are they asking me for? Like,
I know, and it's always down in the penultimate of the 35 paragraphs where you get to the thing they're actually asking you to do.
I also have another thing, like, this is pretty rude that I do this, but I do it all the time, is a lot of times I get a long email and I'll just reply back and say, what are you asking me? Or like, or I've also emailed people.
What am I looking at?
Yeah, I literally hit reply and I'm like, I don't understand your email. I've sent this email dozens of times. I'm like, I'll say, I didn't understand this. Can you write me a shorter email?
This gets to part two, and I'm gonna ask myself, my co-host, and our listeners I'm gonna encourage you to do a thing that is virtually impossible, let alone impossible to do all the time. So part one is, subject line or similar, however you're communicating with people, you need you need a headline that really fairly explains what it is you're asking and why them. Now, part two, I don't know if this is true, but something I've learned to believe is true, that people, especially busy people, most enjoy or prefer being asked something that can be answered with yes or no, without even necessarily having to explain why. But like, if you, when I was a project manager, I had some success with that subject line trick, but then also with a very short thing that could include, like, it could even be as simple as quick question, do you want me to take care of muffin choices for the meeting in the Whale Room on Monday? Something like that, right? So like, whatever it is that you're going to do, yeah, like, don't let them, don't make it so that they have to do fucking forensics on what you want. I busy know. People want to say yes, no, Diet Coke. They would love to be able to answer shit with yes or no. And be unambiguous in what it is that you're asking them to do, to the point of saying they can always ask for more information. They're big boys. They know how to use the keyboard. If they need more information, they'll ask.
A lot of times people send me their whole essay and their whole life story or whatever, and then I can't figure out what they want, and so I just...
Where's the recipe? All you're doing is telling about your grandmother's porch. Just send the recipe.
And so what do you do?
Lazy Sundays filled with lemonade and hugs. Shut up.
So what do? I read this whole thing, and then I just hit...
And then my junior year,
I scan it over, and I'm like, I cannot figure out what this is about. And then I just hit E and I archive it. And then guess what? 2 days later, back on top of the inbox, just checking in, wanted to make sure you got my message. You know, E to archive. Now I'm getting.
And you say, I did not receive it. I don't have email.
That's pretty good. Sometimes I'll say to another one that I've sent to people is if I get this whole spiel about their thing or whatever, and I'll read it, and I'm like, this makes no fucking sense. I do not understand this. I'll write back and I'll say, could you pretend that I don't already know everything about this and start from the beginning and tell me the whole story?
Give it to me in Pigs and Bunnies.
Give it to me in Pigs and Bunnies.